Father, we want to thank you this morning that we can be together. Father, we thank you for this significant day. We thank you that we can call you Lord and Savior. I thank you that you are the resurrected one. I thank you we can be in your presence, Father. We thank you we can come as we are. And Father, we just declare that praise awaits you in this place. Father, today we celebrate you. Today we celebrate your victory, the victory that is ours. And that we can come this morning, we can be called sons and daughters. I pray just that today will be a celebration of all that you have done, Father. And we just say that today is all about you. And we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just show you the picture. That was done in South Africa, and I'm going to start with a story this morning. This was a friend of mine, and they invited me to do the ceremony, kindly paid for me to go down, which was great. And but this is an amazing story of his wife, Danica. About 2 months ago, she went for a jog, and then she collapsed. And they found out that, you know, she might have brain damage, and she had a heart attack, and, you know, and so her life was in danger. They said, look, call the family, don't think she's going to make it. And, but, you know, how many of you know and believe in the power of prayer? And so when the church started praying, God miraculously healed her. And so I just love these stories when God calls the church to pray and intercede. Because it says the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. And what a day it was just to stand there and give thanks to God. And so the day before the wedding, I heard that the local television station will be there to do a documentary about this story and this happy ending that could have been so different. You know, so I had the privilege of sharing and doing officiating the ceremony. And we had the film crew there, and it was just amazing that we can just give glory to God. And so this is going to be broadcast in a couple of weeks. And it's going to go out on South Africa and just to testify about God's goodness and His grace. And so it was an emotional time, but also a time of celebration that we can just celebrate life. And that's what it's all about. And we can just come here today, even today, we can celebrate life. We can just celebrate the life of the greatest person that walked on the face of this earth, and his name is Jesus, the resurrected one. And, you know, so I want to just share with you just this morning just some truths in a story that has changed the world, a story that had such an impact on in the world that we actually are benefiting from it even today as we speak. And that's the story about what we're going to read. If you want to turn your Bibles to Acts 1 verse 8. And we're going to continue our Empowered series, because this is, today is Pentecost Sunday. And so we celebrate, you know, what happened there on Pentecost. It's a wonderful occasion, and we're going to just find out a little bit more about Pentecost. And Pentecost is a Greek word for Pentecost is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Shavuot. You know, it's a two-day spring harvest festival of the Israelites. A very significant time, Shavuot, because this was the time that the Israelites received the Torah. Now, the Torah is the first five books in the Old Testament. Very significant moment where God has given His word to them. But how many of you know that we need the Spirit as well? So God gave the word, and then the Spirit came, and this is what happened at Pentecost when God said, and He gave this promise that we're going to read from here in Acts verse 1 to 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I love that. That was the promise. He said to them, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to go and wait, because I have something for you that is very, very important for you to take hold of. Go and wait there. How many of you like waiting? Okay? I know some of you have been waiting on some promises, and waiting is not a nice season to be in, but it is when there's a promise, it just makes it so much more fulfilling. When this is what they had, when Jesus said, I want you to go and wait, because I'm going to give you a promise. My Holy Spirit, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit upon you, and you shall receive power when that Spirit comes upon you. Now, this is not just any power. The Greek word for power is dunamis. Dunamis. Now, that's what we get the word dynamite from, okay? So this is what happens. This is what the power that he's talking about. This is not just any power. This is power that will have an effect, that will bring change. Now, we know what dynamite does, right? Dynamite, when it is ignited, you know, there's an explosion that happens. And this is the power that God has given these people and promised them and entrusted them with. Because he said, you know what? I want to change this world. How many of you know from the beginning to the end of the Bible was about change, about transformation? And this is what God wanted to see happen through his church. This is the reason he called them together. As Jesus spent time with his disciples, he said, you need my Spirit. You know, my time on earth is gone, but I'm going to leave you my Spirit that will counsel you and lead you. And so this was the important gift that he wanted to give to them. Because he said, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, by my Holy Spirit, that will enable you to do things beyond your human limitations. How many of you know that we have human limitations? And so the disciples would not be able to do this without the Holy Spirit. This was such an important part of the early church. This was the place, the time where the church was birthed into its mission and purpose here on this earth. And so we read further there, and this is a very awesome time. I mean, I can just imagine being there at this moment of Pentecost, where they went approximately 7 weeks, 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days, it came to this time where he called them together. And it says here, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devoted men from every nation on this earth. Now there's a picture of our early church. Every nation was there. That's the first official picture. No, I'm just kidding. But just think about it. The tribes, every nation was there. When the Spirit was poured out in that upper room, there was people from every tribe, Jew and Gentile, together in one place. And so I've just entitled this message this morning, Empowered to Change Your World. Empowered to Change Your World. Because friends, this is the reason the Spirit was poured out upon the church, is to bring change in this world. How many of you believe that we need change in this world? How many of you need right now, as I read the papers and I watch the television, I just see that there is a desperate need for change in this world. And I just love this story as I was reading about this day of Pentecost. You know, I was just reminded again that God wants to change the world. And he realized that, you know, Jesus' work on earth was done. And so he said, I'm going to give you my Spirit, and I'm going to enable you to bring change. You're going to be agents of change here in this world. On that day when the Spirit was poured out on the church, the disciples were changed. I just know that they didn't leave that meeting the same. Something happened. Something was released upon them. Something in the atmosphere changed. There was a shift in the atmosphere when the Spirit of God came upon that place. They left transformed. Their hearts were changed. Even the way they were speaking, tongues, sounds that came from them sound different. And I love that. That is what the presence of God does. Every person that I've read about in history, and even friends that I've asked that had an encounter with Jesus, with the presence of God, they've never been the same. Something that changed when we spend time in the presence of God. They were filled with the power of God and were sent on a mission to be His witnesses in the whole earth in power. And that's what I believe God wants to do with the church today. He wants to empower it. I believe God doesn't want a powerless church. He wants a powerful church. When we actually start realizing, friends, the potential that is in us. Do you realize that what we've received, when we receive Christ in our lives, no longer we that live, but Christ that lives in us and dwells in us. There's something that we carry that is so powerful and so significant that the world needs right now. I believe the church owes the world an encounter with Jesus. And can that be us? Can we be that church? And so when we read this, it's almost like God wants to take us back and remind us not to live in the former days. He said, forget the former days, right? I'm doing a new thing. But sometimes we need to be reminded of the old, of actually see what happened there. The church at the time had so many great attributes. And, you know, they were Christ-centered. They were Spirit-empowered. It was about the presence of God. And I believe somehow we've lost it. The church have lost it. A lot of things has been built around man instead of being building around the presence of God. And so it's almost God bringing us back to basics and aligning us, reminding us. So today, as we think about Pentecost, can we be reminded of the day what God did? Because I believe that was a day where the atmosphere changed, lives were changed, and God aligned them in His presence for some kingdom purposes. You know, when we pray, Father, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's a dangerous prayer, because what happened is we submit to God's purposes and seeking His will, not our will. And our will, we say, you know, soul, step aside. We want everything that God has for us. And when that Spirit comes upon us, friends, things change. The atmosphere change. And God gives us a kingdom perspective, a desire for the kingdom and to see change in this world. So the power is available to us today. I want to ask this question. Do you know the potential that is available to you this morning? I believe that the power and presence is essential for the times that we are currently living in. I believe the church is the answer. I believe God has given us the keys of His kingdom. And He still believes in the church. You know, we can think about the early church and, you know, even as we've gone through the centuries and the damage the church has done. But you know what? God still believes in His church. The church is not perfect, but God is perfect. And the church is us, His body. Each and every one of us sitting here are part of that. John 4:4, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. I think it's so important that we understand this, that the Spirit that lives in us is greater than the Spirit that lives in this world. And as we walk around, it's the Spirit in us. It's awareness of the presence and the power that is in us. It's not walking around with arrogance, with pride, but it's just that awareness that the Spirit of God is with me wherever I go. In whatever dark alley I walk in, the presence of God goes with me. Whatever encounter I face in my life, the presence of God is with me. And that is what he wants to remind us of. Give us that awareness today. It is Christ with us. That power, that dunamis power that we carry with us. God's Spirit comes down from above upon the believer and church with the purpose to immerse them into the atmosphere of heaven. I love that. How many of you know there's an atmosphere of heaven? If you think about heaven, what do you think about? In heaven is a united kingdom, right? And so I believe as God releases his presence here on the earth, I believe that Pentecost, the reason and the purpose for Pentecost was for the birthing of the church, but I also believe it was for the unification of the body of Christ. When the Spirit came upon, because it was a manifestation of what heaven is like. It's united. It's not divided. It's every tribe and every nation worshiping God. And so when the Spirit of God was poured out upon them in that upper room, there was a unification that took place. People that came together from every tribe, they came together, they didn't know each other. But I believe when they left that place, there was a synergy that took place. Their hearts were united, knitted together. And that is God's desire, as the Spirit comes down from above on every believer and the church with the purpose to immerse them into the atmosphere of heaven. That is what my desire is, that us as a church, we will have the atmosphere of heaven here. Because I know in heaven there's joy, there's peace, there's kindness, there's unity, there's freedom. You can carry on. And this is what the church should look like, reflecting heaven here on earth. When people walk into this place, they see Jesus. They get a taste of heaven. it's a united church under God. That is our prayer, not just for our church, but the church in the city, coming together as one. One of the main purposes, as I said, of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was to unite his church. It's the unity in the body of Christ. And so, friends, as we wait upon, as they waited upon that Spirit, I believe that as they left that place, as they left the upper room, they were called into this ministry of reconciliation. They were called and they were unifiers. Where they went, they were bridge builders. They didn't see, you know, how many of you know that Jesus is colorblind? He doesn't see race. He just sees spirit. He sees our hearts. It's not about color. And I love the church. That's how they went about their ministry, building together. I just spent a bit of time in South Africa, as you know, and just to see what's happening in our government after how many years of, you know, of where we, you know, before, after apartheid, you know, many years ago. And just see, you know, we thought our nation has made progress, but in fact they have taken a lot of steps back into a divided place. It is so divided right now. White and black, just friction, conflict. And I believe that God is calling the church to attention. And he said, church, I want you to be reminded of the early church. I want you to be reminded of that church of Acts, what they carried. And we go further on in that passage where it says they were devoted people from every nation. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to prayer. They spent time together. They broke bread together. They shared their possessions. What a beautiful picture of authentic Christian community that dwells together in unity. With this unity, God commands a blessing. The reason God is not blessing South Africa right now is because there's no unity. Not even in the church. And so he's bringing, aligning the people's hearts again as people humble themselves. Because I believe the root of it is pride. Our pride has come in and divided a nation. Racism, it's more a heart issue. It's a heart condition. And this is what we want to come and as we come into God's presence, we're like, God, really fix my heart. I humble myself. If I have any racism or anti-Semitism or whatever it is, I ask that you will align my heart. I humble myself. God says in his word, when my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways and turn to me and ask forgiveness, I will hear them, I will forgive them, and I will heal their land. God will heal nations. He will heal marriages. He will heal institutions, governments. And as people come, and we just think about our government right now, what's happening right there. I'm not going to preach politics today. But God needs to align. God needs to bring people when they come and they respond with humility and said, I don't have it all figured out. I need to deal with some things in my heart. And friends, we need to pray for our government. We need to pray for our people, for God to change their hearts and bring order. Because if I look at the church in Acts 2, there was order. There was humility. They were walking in the rhythm of heaven. We can walk in the flesh, we can walk in the spirit. This is what a spirit-empowered, Christ-centered church looks like. That's the church that we long for here at Every Nation. That's what I keep saying. You've heard me say that many times. Every nation, every tribe, every nation, every denomination is included. We're not an exclusive church, we are inclusive. That's why we don't call ourselves, we're Protestant or a Catholic church, or we don't want any labels on us. We just said we're Every Nation. Because I believe that's a picture. We want to be that picture. We want to be that church that God's called us to be. As we humble ourselves, as we are about our Father's business. You know that Jesus is not coming back for a denomination. He's coming back for a people. He's not coming back for Every Nation logo, whoever it is, or Elam, or whatever church denomination, whether you're Catholic. He's coming back for people. He's coming back for disciples. That's the exciting part. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a supernatural infilling and a supernatural overflow. Just think about that. God is spirit. That's a supernatural. I'm just thinking about that moment as the Spirit came upon them. And the presence, the atmosphere changed. That is supernatural. But when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, he was both supernatural and natural. He was a human being just like us. And his desire is that we will live a life that overflows, that spills over. As we receive this from him. I've said this before. Heaven is always open. Heaven is never closed. It's a tap that's always open. Right? But it's up to us if we want to receive it. The question is this morning, are you open? How open are you? How thirsty are you for the presence and the power of God? How much more do you want from him? You thirst for more. Matthew 12 verse 34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, the reason when you see when something is full, it starts to overflow, right? When it's empty, if you fill the bucket and it starts filling up, it overflows. That's a sign that it's full. And it's the same with our heart. Our heart can be empty, it can be full. It can be filled with a lot of things. We're the one that fills our heart. When we go out there, we fill what we read, what we allow into our lives. And ultimately, it runs over. It's, you know, I always get the indication of when I just hear people, or you know, you can hear somebody just sharing something with passion, right? And then you get indication. There's something, there's a reason he's passionate about that. And that's why, you know, he's just talking about it. It just comes out of his mouth, right? You can be passionate about a lot of things in life, about sport, about poetry, and about nations, and about God, whatever. So I believe out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as we fill ourselves with things of the kingdom, it will naturally just come out of our mouth. We start talking. You realize where people have a kingdom perspective or just a material perspective. What is valuable to them? Where your treasure is, there your heart is. It becomes very obvious. But I believe that this early church in Acts 2, it was contagious. I mean, they just had the most powerful encounter that changed their lives. And I believe in that moment, the heaven was deposited, the Spirit of God was deposited in their lives. That was an overflow moment, right? And so as they went, I'm sure that they went to their family members that couldn't make it to that place and said, hey, listen, something awesome just took place. And, you know, I just need to share this with you. This is amazing. The Spirit came and, you know, people will change and you need to get hold of this. So this message from heaven and this encounter of heaven was not just meant for them. It was meant for transformation to go from that place. And that's the same with the gospel, friends. When we get understanding of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, and why he came to this earth, I believe that the gospel cannot simply stop with us. It has to carry on. It's something that needs to be passed on. It's something that we cannot keep wrapped up to ourselves. It's like a can of Coca-Cola, right? When you stir and you shake this Coke, and as you open it up, what happens? It sprays everywhere. That's the same about the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. When you get hold of it, it is contagious. You just want to share with it. You know, how many have heard that once you pop, you can't stop, right? That's Pringles, all right? That's for free. But that's the same. The same with the kingdom of God. Once you pop, you cannot stop. Once you get a taste of it, you want more of it. And that is my encouragement. That's my prayer for you, friends, that we will be the people that cultivate this in our own lives, but ultimately pass this on to the next generation, pass this on to the people in this city. There was purpose. It wasn't just the experience. It's not about experiences. I go to a lot of conferences, and I'm sure many of you have been to conferences, and then you have this Holy Spirit moment and goosebumps, and you feel, wow, this was amazing. And, you know, and I often ask myself, what changed? What am I going to do differently? What am I going to apply to my life? And I believe that these moments shouldn't be selfish moments. It's something that we got to think about. Okay, yes, God is me time, and you know, we can privatize our faith. And I want to go there this morning, but these encounters are is there for a reason, where it really encourages us to go and pass this on and not stay there, right? There's a time to receive and there's a time to give. I don't know what season you're in. I believe every day is a moment when we need to receive from God. When we wake up, we want to spend time with Him. We want to go into a time of worship. But I just feel like we're not called to stay there. We, you know, from that place, we need to go. Power is released through the spoken word of God. It's not just something that we've received. It's I believe that we have been given the authority by God delegated authority. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on that. I want to encourage you to listen to that. But we've received power from God for a reason. And so with authority comes responsibility. And so this responsibility is us. We're going to face, and God knew this, that his disciples will face moments in their lives that they would need to speak the word of God into situations, into some moments in their lives. And I'm sure some of you this morning, you are going through some things in your life. And so God is teaching us to really apply the word of God, not just read it, but believe it. Okay? How many of you know that this word is powerful? It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it will not return void. And so when we start speaking God's word into situations, it changes atmospheres. I've been in situations like that where I was just overcome with darkness and this evil presence. And I just took a moment and I said, God, this is your promise. And I spoke into the situation. And there was a change in the atmosphere. I released something. When the words went from my lips, in that moment, a split second, there was a change in the atmosphere. And that's what I believe, that the truth, the promises of God really changes, displaces anything that is contrary to God's kingdom. It's like switching on a light in a dark room. That darkness leaves. It's got to flee. And so that is what God wants to remind us this morning, to walk and to declare his word on this earth. Wherever I go, sometimes I don't know what to pray. I just start praying God's word, reading a psalm, and just start declaring these promises over my family. Because we are called to take authority in our place, at our workplace, and our homes. When things are out of order, we ask God, said, Lord, I'm reminded what Johan said on Sunday, that heaven is always open. Now I ask you, I declare there's an open heaven over my home. And I ask you for the presence of God to come into this place. Acts 10 verse 44 to verse 46 says, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. I love this. You know that Peter was not just a listener, he was a doer. He applied these truths. He was living it. And I love as he starts speaking these words and these promises. It says here in Acts 10, even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. When we start speaking the words over people, there's going to be change. Sicknesses, illnesses, things that they're experiencing. I shared the testimony earlier where the church just got around this lady where there was a hopeless situation. And they just came and said, this is the promise for you, my daughter. This is what God is saying. And they start praying over her and her blood pressure started changing. And, you know, this all these infections, all the things, the disorder in her body, they were just speaking perfect order and commanding her body to come in line with God's word and God's spirit. And there was change. And today she's married and she's alive. Now there's moments and times that it doesn't happen. I don't know. Sometimes God's ways are higher than our ways. All right. But I believe there's moments. I believe, friends, when there's a promise, there's purpose. And so we take that promise and we speak it and declare it over situations in our lives. I want to ask you the question, does the Spirit have us? What do I mean with that? Does the Spirit have us? Have we submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Or are we resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Friends, I believe God is calling us to yield to His Spirit, to embrace it, not to resist it. It's not something we got to be scared of. It's something that He wants us to receive. Are you open this morning? I remember this meeting I went to my parents' church in 99, and it really wrecked my theology around the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I remember just watching, and what I was seeing in the front is just this incredible joy, and this people just experience the presence and power of God. And I was kind of on the outside and just looking at it, and there was something in me that, you know what, I want it, but I'm like, you know, it's almost you're putting your right toe in the water, and you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to go here. I feel a bit uncomfortable. And God's saying to me, I want you to come in. I want you to step in. I want you to be immersed in my presence, in my spirit. And at that time was a very difficult time, as I suffered from depression and, you know, just experienced anxiety, things in my life. And I said, okay, I'm going to go all in. I'm gonna submit. I want this Holy Spirit. And, you know, I step to the front. And that's just about what I could remember, is when I stepped into that. And then the Spirit of God just took control. And he came, not in a forceful way. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a dictator, all right? He will not override your will. It's like, do you want this? And so that was the invitation. And I remember that moment where I just experienced so much joy, so much peace, that just laughter came. I wasn't weird. It was just joy, unspeakable joy, friends, that I couldn't manufacture. Believe me, I was not laughing for months. And it just came from inside my belly. And the joy that I experienced was just quite amazing. And I just got this, felt how God longs for every tribe, every person to experience the presence and power of God, to experience the joy of God. It says here, anyone who believes in me, John 7:38, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. That's my prayer for you, church. That rivers of living water will flow from you. I said this before, you're not called to be a lake, you're called to be a river. A lake is something that it's just built up. There's no outlet to it, but a river just flows. And that's what God is calling us to be. It's much easier to get filled with the Spirit than it is to stay filled with the Spirit. How many of you have realized that? It's much easier to get filled with the Spirit than it is to stay filled with the Spirit. God wants us to stay filled with His Spirit. I'm just going to ask Anthony to come forward and just our worship team. Spirit-baptized believers become channels for rivers of living water. And that is what God is calling us to be, is to become channels of living water. As we receive, friends, we are called to be a channel. Let's just stand for a moment. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Father, I thank you, Father, for what you desire for our lives. Father, we thank you that our desires will become your desires. Lord, I pray that you'll just give us a hunger for more. Father, there's more, God. And I just pray, as we've heard about Pentecost and we've heard about that upper room experience, God. And Father, I thank you. As people came from every tribe, every nation, Father, they came from different backgrounds, Lord. They came Father, with one desire for more of you, Father. And God, I pray that today as we come, would you come and fill us? Will you come and fill us with your Spirit this morning in the name of Jesus? Father, you know our hearts. You know where we come from. You know what we're going through right now. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' mighty name. I ask that you'll come and breathe over us. Come and refresh us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just want to encourage you, friends, if you just open your hands. Just say, Lord, I want more. I want to receive more of you. Some of you here this morning have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and maybe you've received it before, but maybe you're saying, I want more of that. I want more of God's Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you as that Spirit came upon us, upon that church, Lord. It says that they received power to be your witness. And Lord, today I pray as the Spirit comes upon us, Lord, I pray that you ask that you'll empower each and every one here in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Father, I pray whatever limitations are over us, Lord, what maybe some of you just feel like you've been resisting the Holy Spirit, and this is something God has been speaking to you about. I just pray, Father, that you'll just remove that resistance, Father. Whatever it is, whatever distractions it is, I ask that you reveal to them the person, the Holy Spirit, here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and reveal Jesus to us. Come and reveal to us what you have given us in Jesus' name. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you remove strife from us. In Jesus' name, thank you, God.